Chapter 17. The Rag King.
The mistress trusted you to deliver her letter to me personally. She does not trust easily. I am impressed.
Zatoor stared at Cole over the small rosewood table in her study in the royal palace of Karhine and raised an eyebrow in approval. The Rag King's advisor took a sip from the glass of wine she was holding, and Cole couldn't help but notice the soft shape of her lips. Zatoor was just the right side of mature, with long black hair touched by only a hint of grey, and the olive skin of a spander, complemented by a green dress that accentuated the fullness of her figure. Cole raised his own glass of water and swallowed a mouthful. He'd decided to pass on the wine after his latest adventure. I won't leave myself open to being poisoned ever again.
You needn't be impressed, he replied modestly. The truth is, I'm nothing without my birthright.
He nodded over at Magebane, which was currently in the possession of the captain of the palace guard, a stern-faced man who hardly seemed to blink. He was stationed by the door to Zator's chambers.
You understand why I had Eric confiscate your dagger?
Zator said with a gracious smile.
I can take no risks. Your reputation precedes you.
Cole nodded solemnly.
I can't say I blame you. I'm just glad to have finally met someone in this country who respects me.
Zatoor smiled again. Her shoulders were bare, and the figure-hugging dress she wore didn't leave a great deal to the imagination. Focus, Cole, focus. He was here on a mission of vital importance. He couldn't afford to get sidetracked, not this time. The future of the Trine, of humanity itself, might depend on his success.
I studied under the Mage Lord of Thalassa for 20 years,
Zatoor mused.
She took a new apprentice after me, I believe. Brianna, perhaps.
Cole nodded.
A fine figure of a woman,
though not as fine as yours. Damn it, focus, Cole.
She died helping to overthrow the tyrant Salazar, he continued. She sacrificed herself to disrupt his magic.
Sasha had become very emotional telling him the story of Brianna's death while they were sitting atop the Tower of Stars. It sounded like she had admired the woman a great deal.
Sacrifice,
Zatoor repeated in her husky voice.
It is sometimes necessary.
I know all about sacrifice, Cole said darkly.
He stared around the lushly decorated study. The guards had brought him straight to the king's advisor, and he hadn't had the opportunity to scout the rest of the palace. But if it was as opulent as Ator's chambers, then Tarbon was doing a good deal better for itself than Dorminia, even before all the recent trouble in the Trine.
Indeed.
Zatoor rose from her chair and moved across the table to place a delicate hand on his arm.
Tell me what you know about sacrifice.
Cole glanced down in mild alarm at the uncomfortable stirring in his breeches and cleared his throat.
The truth is, I'm always getting myself into trouble doing what I think is best. I spent years trying to be a hero and lost everything dear to me. I've hardly slept in months.
Though that has little to do with lack of opportunity, and everything to do with the divine hunger devouring me from within.
You do look unwell,
Zatoor observed, stroking his arm.
You are so very pale, and your hair is thin for one so young.
Lack of sunlight, Cole answered quickly. It's grim up north.
A sensation other than the obvious was making him uncomfortable. There was something disturbing about the way Zatoor was looking at him. She was regarding him with an intensity that seemed almost hungry.
Perhaps we should deliver the White Lady's message to the king now, he suggested.
Patience, Davaris Cole.
Zatoor moved around him, twisting like a serpent to stand behind his chair, and stare over his shoulder at the blank parchment resting in the centre of the table. It was covered in a soft glow.
The mistress encrypted the message and it will take some time for my own magic to decipher its words. Whatever she wishes to say, it is highly sensitive. Perhaps she feared her message would fall into the hands of these inhuman invaders from across the ocean you speak of.
The Fade, Cole agreed. Do you think your king will send aid? I hear Tarban has the largest army in the Shattered Realms.
He stiffened as one of Zator's fingers stroked the back of his neck. He met the eyes of the captain of the guards, Eric, and was struck by how vacant they seemed.
It has the most divided army, Zator purred. The Duke yet holds out in the south, and a third of Tarban's men-at-arms swear fealty to his banner. But you are a charismatic man, Davaris Cole. Perhaps you can yet convince the king it is in his best interests to commit soldiers to the north, if the letter from your mistress does not have the desired effect.
She's not my mistress, Cole said.
He relaxed a little. He was charismatic, that was the truth. Perhaps it wasn't so surprising Zator was smitten with him. She wouldn't be the first older woman he'd had that effect on. Her hand continued to caress his neck, working its way to the front. Suddenly, the king's advisor froze, one finger hooked beneath the golden key, hanging under his shirt.
What is this?
She asked, her voice changing from sultry to sharp in an instant.
Just a gift from one of my many lovers, Cole said, thinking to make the lie as convincing as possible.
This was Wolgred's,
she hissed. Wolgred, the Wanderer, the mage who attacked me aboard the Caress. How does Zator know of him? Cole twisted to stare up at the king's advisor. Her eyes were narrowed in fury. For the first time, he noticed their slight reddish tinge, and dread filled him. He remembered Wolgred's eyes burning like rubies in the assassin's skull. He sprang out of the chair, making a dash for the captain of the guard across the chamber, desperate to get his hands on Magebane before Zator could work her magic against him. But he'd only gone 3 strides when his legs suddenly refused to respond. Every one of his muscles seized up. No matter how he struggled, he couldn't twitch even a solitary finger. Utter panic gripped him then, as tightly as Zator's magic. Zator moved to stand before him, the words of the spell she had just cast to paralyze his body dying on her lips.
Everything in order, my lady,
Eric called out from his post by the door. For a moment, Cole dared hope the man might help him, but that hope was quickly dashed.
Quite perfect, thank you. Would you go and fetch us more wine? I should like a few minutes alone with our guest.
But Lady Zator, that is against protocol.
The king's advisor raised a finger and pointed.
Go,
she commanded, and her brown eyes seemed to flash crimson for the briefest of moments.
Yes, my lady,
the guard replied emotionlessly. He turned and departed without another word, and Cole knew that he too was under Zator's spell. I'm going to die. Without Magebane, he was just a man, and not a particularly smart or skilled one. If the look on Zator's face was any indication, it wouldn't be a quick or easy death.
I don't know how you came by this,
the king's advisor said, examining the golden key with a deep frown. Cole could smell the cloying sweetness of her perfume, but it masked something else, a hint of something charnel, rotten.
I must assume Wolgred is dead. He would not free the golem only to carelessly relinquish the key. The master would skin him alive.
Cole fought Zator's magic with every shred of willpower he possessed, but it was hopeless. It was an effort even to blink. The realization that he would never see Sasha again brought tears to his eyes, and they rolled down his cheeks unchecked, a final pathetic show of weakness.
Did the White Lady send you here to assassinate me?
Zator mused, knowing he couldn't respond.
Or does she truly believe the king would weaken his own army merely to delay her destruction. The ancients cannot be stopped by men with swords and arrows, or even a mage lord with the stolen power of the gods.
The king's advisor moved closer to Cole. Her lips parted, and her eyes burned with hunger. Not the wanton desire of lust. No, this was a ravenous, obscene hunger that sickened him.
When Eric returns, I will tell him you were an assassin sent by the Duke's men,
Zatul whispered.
I would devour your blood here and now, but to magically manipulate the companions undetected is a delicate task, and explaining your desiccated remains to that grey-haired bitch might expose me. I will drink you later.
Drink me? Cole managed to widen his eyes ever so slightly in horror. Zatul turned and walked across to the table.
The White Lady's message is ready, she said. Let us see what my erstwhile mistress has to say, before I dispose of this document and haul you before the king.
As Cole watched transfixed, Zatul lifted the scroll.
The Fayed,
she muttered, reading from the document.
That is their true name? The coming of the ancients was predicted by the master, though none of his apprentices know the full scope of his designs. There has never been a more brilliant man. It is my privilege to serve and to learn. One day, I will stand at his side for eternity.
Cole wanted to close his eyes, to block out the sight of the woman who only minutes ago had been distracting him with all kinds of shameless thoughts.
You were a faithful and talented apprentice. How generous of her to say so. Yet the White Lady could never give me what I wanted. Eternal beauty, eternal life, all that blood magic offers. Wait, there is more. I know, Zator. I know. Consider this my gift to you. What gift? What does that cunt know?
The parchment suddenly glowed a brilliant silver, so bright that Cole's eyes wept fresh tears, blinding him for a moment. When his vision cleared, Zatul was shaking like a leaf caught in a gale. She gasped, and then her body began to contort grotesquely, limbs cracking, bones snapping in a hideous dance, as the silvery glow rose from the parchment and enveloped her. First, her arms fractured like dry twigs. Then, her legs split, white bone poking through ruptured skin. Finally, her spine snapped, and she jerked horribly, like a marionette twitching to the strings of a ruthless puppeteer. With a blood-curdling shriek, Zatul crumpled to the floor. Cole was suddenly free to move, the magic that had frozen him in place shattered like the skeleton of the woman just opposite. He hurried over to the table, trying not to vomit at the sight of the shapeless mass of flesh that had moments ago been a living woman. He grabbed his backpack, quickly checked inside to make sure Midnight was fine, and then made a dash for the door. To hell with the White Lady's message. I'm getting the fuck out of here. If he could just remember the way out of the palace. The door to Zatul's chambers opened, and the captain of the guard, Eric, barged straight into Cole. In his surprise, the guard dropped the bottle of wine he'd been holding, and it shattered into 1,000 shards of glass, the produce of Carhine's finest vineyards, splashing all over Cole, who managed to keep his feet. The guard's eyes widened when he saw the corpse of the king's advisor. He reached for the sword at his hip.
Murder! He screamed. Guards, to arms!
Cole glanced wildly around, but there was nowhere to run, except straight at the helmed figure blocking the door. He charged and caught the man with a boot straight to the face. Eric crashed to the floor, and Cole was beside him in an instant, prying Magebane from the guard captain's belt. It came free in a whisper of steel, and immediately a blue glow sprang up around the blade. Cole leaped the fallen guard and plunged into the corridor beyond. A trio of guardsmen came sprinting towards him, spears raised. Cole backed away, but felt an arm grab him from behind. It was Eric, The man's nose a bloody mess. Desperate and out of options, Cole spun and drove Magebane into the guard captain's neck. Warmth filled him as Eric's life was leached away, transferred by the dagger into his own body. It felt terribly wrong. Terribly wrong and yet rapturously good. The first of the spearmen lunged, and Cole twisted, his reflexes razor sharp, his movements effortlessly fluid compared with the lumbering guard. Magebane stabbed out again, opening the man's throat. More strength surged into Cole's body.
"Yes," boomed a voice from somewhere deep inside. "Kill them. Kill them all, child."
The two remaining guards tried to catch him in a pincer movement, but he was unstoppable now, a killing machine. A crazed grin split his face, and he battered aside one spear, stabbed out and heard a gasp, as warm blood washed over his hand. He sensed movement behind him, but it was laughably ponderous, like the guard was moving through tar. The Reaver opened the remaining guard's face, and then stabbed him through the heart before his scream could even escape his ruined lips. A chorus of heartbeats thundered in his ears. He twisted to see more guardsmen sprinting towards him. He didn't count them. There was no need. He kicked off the wall and reversed momentum, stabbing one in the side of the neck and dropping him like a stone. He leaped again, and somehow he was running along the wall, the thrusting spears of the guards around him like stalks of corn swaying lazily in the wind, while he was the scythe, irresistible and unstoppable. In moments, they were all dead. Inside, he was raging fury, but outside he was Shadow, a darkness stalking through the corridor, smiling savagely, leaving only bodies in his wake. The Reaver flowed into a large rectangular chamber. The throne room, judging from the high-backed chair on the dais. It was occupied by a man covered by a patchwork cloak, stitched from hundreds of scraps of cloth of all shades and colours. He wore a silver crown atop his head. "The king," said a tiny and desperate voice. "Stop." But it was drowned out by that relentless refrain.
"Kill them all. Kill them all, child."
A half dozen guards formed a protective wall before the throne, crossbows raised. He heard a series of clicks and saw the bolts flying towards him, twisting in the air. The Reaver willed the shadows cloaking him to intercept the projectiles. Tendrils of darkness flowed outwards, plucked the bolts from the air, sent them clattering uselessly to the floor. Then he was upon the guards, stabbing and slashing, crimson droplets raining down all around him.
"I am death."
"Lady Steele!"
shouted a barrel-chested warrior just to the left of the king. He carried a monstrous shield protectively before him. To the king's right, a lean woman with long grey hair and dressed in full plate armour raised her longsword in salute. Together the pair strode from the dais. They reached the Reaver just as he finished off the final guard, a fountain of red spray exploding from the man's torn throat. He sprang at them, his dagger trailing scarlet beads. They would all perish here, fuel for the infernal hunger raging within him. Somehow, the shield-bearer blocked his attacks. The iron-haired woman took a step forward and launched a furious series of slashes, and the Reaver was driven back, the edge of his steel striking sparks off her armour, but failing to penetrate to the sweet flesh beneath. He snarled and spat, and fought with redoubled fury. Time and again, the male managed to raise his shield just in time to turn aside an otherwise fatal blow, while the woman with the iron hair fought with supreme skill, dodging away from Magebane and riposting with such precision that, somehow, he found himself being driven back. The fury began to fade, the edge of madness slowly receding, as the Reaver fought these masters of sword and shield. The king merely watched from his throne, unmoving, chin resting on one scarred hand. The Reaver grunted as the iron-haired warrior scored a small nick on his arm. The sudden shock of pain cut through the red haze, and like the first green shoots of spring poking through the earth after a long winter, Cole's consciousness forced itself out. The supernatural rage driving him faltered, and the big shield-bearer knocked him backwards with a fierce shove. Cole was forced to scramble away, blood dampening the spot where the woman's dancing sword had cut him.
"Wait!"
he managed to rasp, dodging the arcing blade of the woman, Lady Steel, and raising his hands before him in a placating gesture.
"I need to speak with the king."
"Demon," growled the grim warrior with the great shield. "You will get no closer to him. The companions have defeated worse than you."
"I'm not a demon,"
Cole said desperately. The shield pummeled him again, and he staggered, almost tripping over the body of one of the guards he had killed.
"The White Lady sent me to deliver a message to Zator,"
he said, in a mad rush.
"She was some kind of blood mage. I think she was controlling the king. I didn't mean to kill the guards."
"Enough," the shield bearer spat. "Don't think your lies will save you now, assassin." Lady Steel said nothing, though one grey eyebrow rose slightly.
"I swear, I'm telling the truth."
The shield struck Cole painfully on the head, cutting him off mid-sentence.
"Hold,"
said a gravelly voice that carried effortlessly from the throne.
"Let him speak with me."
Uttering a string of curses, the shield-bearer stepped back and glowered at Cole. Lady Steel sheathed her sword, though her eyes didn't leave him for a moment. Cole rubbed at his bruised skull and lowered Magebane. The blade was dripping red, and as he gazed around at the carnage in the throne room, a sick feeling rose in his stomach. "I did this. All these guards dead. All because of me."
"You will surrender your weapon before approaching the king," growled the shield-bearer.
Cole licked his lips, his mouth suddenly dry, and did as the man commanded, handing over Magebane, trying not to look at the blood-smeared hilt. He approached the throne. There was a squelching sound, and he realized his boots were wet, soaked through with blood. The nausea rose again, and he swallowed it down. The Rag King watched him. As Cole drew closer, he saw the man's face was as patchwork as his cloak, 100 scars crisscrossing it from chin to brow.
"Zator is dead?"
the king asked, once Cole was standing before him.
"Yes," Cole replied. "Her death was..."
He was going to say horrific, but everything that had occurred since Zator's chambers had been horrific.
"Colourful,"
he finished lamely.
"You killed her?"
Cole shook his head.
"The White Lady gave me a message to give to Zator, who triggered some kind of spell. A trap placed on the scroll. It shattered her, broke every bone in her body."
"Where is this message now?"
the king asked softly.
"In Zator's chambers, on her table."
The Rag King nodded at the shield-bearer, who scowled at Cole before striding out of the room, presumably to retrieve the note. The king looked at Cole.
"What are you?"
he asked curiously. "A killer? A murderer?"
"I'm just a man."
"The thing that entered this throne room and killed my guards was no man. It took two of the companions to hold you off. Are you a mage?"
Cole shook his head.
"No, I..."
"What am I? A horse-born bastard, a child of murder, and an heir to murder. A monster."
"I'm cursed,"
Cole finally managed. The Rag King's eyes narrowed. They were different colours, Cole noticed. One blue, one green. The myriad scars on his face seemed to dance as he scowled.
"I know a little about curses myself."
"They're all dead. He murdered them all, even Eric."
The thundering voice of the big warrior announced his return before he stormed through the doors. He made straight for Cole, huge shield clutched in one hand, battle axe in the other, violent intent written all over his face. The Rag King raised a hand, and Lady Steel moved to intercept him.
Easy, Jax. We are no longer on the road. I alone pass judgment in this hall. Do you have the White Lady's message?
Here, growled Jax, shoving it at the silent swordswoman blocking his path. She took the proffered parchment and brought it to the king, who began to read, his mismatched eyes scanning the document.
The Mage Lord of Thalassa wants my help. She should know I have scant men to spare. Not for any cause, least of all to combat mysterious bogeymen from across the sea. What is this? I know, Zator, I know. Consider this my gift to you.
The Rag King chuckled suddenly.
I believe the last line was addressed directly to me. It appears the White Lady's gift came in the form of an execution, hence freeing me of the machinations of my duplicitous adviser. I confess to not feeling myself as of late. Now I know why.
The king sighed and placed the parchment down.
Sir Meredith warned me about Zator. He was wrong in ways too many to list, but in this matter, it appears he was correct.
Cole had no idea who Sir Meredith was, but if the man was as formidable as the king's other former companions here in the throne room, he could count himself lucky that Sir Meredith was not among those present. Lady Steele was watching him with an intensity that could have boiled ants. The woman didn't seem to blink.
The people of the Trine need your soldiers, he said,
thinking it best to get to the heart of the matter before the rising sickness in his gut ended with him humiliating himself.
Dorminia has already fallen.
The Rag King leaned back slightly on his throne and folded his hands on his lap. They too were massively scarred.
Forgetting the fact that you have just slaughtered a score of my guards, how does this concern Tarban?
They wish to destroy all mankind, Cole said,
trying not to glance at the bodies littering the hall behind him.
Once they've conquered the Trine, they'll move south. The Fade wield weapons beyond our understanding. If Thalassa falls, no one is safe.
I have no soldiers to spare. The war with the Duke demands every fighter I can muster.
You can convince the other realms to send aid, Cole argued. This is bigger than a conflict between men. This is a battle for survival. The Fade don't care who sits on the throne in Tarban or any other kingdom. If we don't work together, everything we know will be dust.
Sounds like a load of horse shit to me,
the big shield-bearer Jax muttered.
Invaders from across the ocean? We should summon the Inquisition and have this assassin put to the question. Wring the truth out of him.
The Rag King glanced at Lady Steele. The silent swordswoman stared at Cole for a moment, and then gave a slow nod.
I believe he speaks the truth,
the king replied.
The White Lady thought to buy my favour by ridding me of Zator's influence.
The king frowned at Cole.
Why she chose to send you, of all people, I cannot say. Whatever curse you carry that caused you to become whatever it was you were, it does not change the fact that she is desperate, nor that your desire seems genuine. If these invaders do indeed move south, I will deal with that when it happens. I did not win this throne by neglecting the more immediate threat.
The king reached up and ran a scarred finger along the grisly tapestry of his face.
As to the other realms, he continued, my influence has waned. Many have their own troubles. They will not listen to me.
Then I came here for nothing, Cole said bitterly. Nothing except to take the lives of innocents.
Lives you must answer for,
Jax growled. He took a step towards Cole. The Rag King made a soothing gesture, and the big man turned away in disgust.
It is true you should die for your actions here,
the king said.
Curse or no curse, you have murdered enough of my men to hang many times over. A younger and more impetuous me would have seen to it myself. Still, I would not make an enemy of the White Lady. Jax, hand this young man back his weapon.
There was a curse, followed by a clatter, as the king's companion tossed Magebane at Cole's feet. He stared down at the ruby-hilted dagger, filled with loathing for himself and for this weapon that had taken so many lives. I wanted to be a hero. I never wanted to be a killer. It's not what I am. But it was exactly what he was. And without Magebane, he wasn't even that. Without Magebane, he was worthless. A nobody. Hating himself, he bent down and retrieved the dagger.
Now what?
He asked numbly, meeting the king's mismatched eyes, Lady Steele's implacable gaze, Jax's angry glare. He had failed in his quest. He wished Sasha were here instead of him. She would have convinced this strange king to send men in response to the Fade threat.
Now you leave,
the Rag King said simply.
Do not return to Tarbin. Attempt to do so, and you will forfeit your life, just as these men gave theirs in my service.
He pointed a scarred hand at the butchered remains of the guardsmen, their lifeblood oozing out to form puddles that glistened in the torchlight. Once again, Cole's gorge rose. He turned and ran from the palace, one hand pressed firmly to his mouth. He almost made it outside, before the first mouthful of vomit burst through his fingers.